Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
All right. Here's my promise to you. This show will be lighter than the last one. Ooh. I can't ignore stuff, though. I just can't do it. Cannot do it. My goodness. We're just talking between shows. Shout out to Johnny Taylor Jr., who was in town from L.A.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a pilot for a show he's pitching around, too, right now, which sounds very interesting.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Interesting and cool. So they're hoping to get on Netflix. So fingers crossed for him in that project, because that would be incredibly cool. He then let me know that he does not listen to the podcast, because he asked the question that lets me know immediately that you do not listen, and that is, are you still doing the podcast?
Yeah.
Yup. Hey. Sure I am.
Yeah. Jason, are you still doing that podcast with Nate? Yeah. I'm tagged in a post twice a week. Sometimes three times a week.
Yeah, it's not like I don't post about it on Twitter and Facebook, where we follow each other on Twitter. We're Facebook friends.
Still
doing that thing?
If you want me to, I'll send you a weekly reminder, but I figured since you're asking this question, you probably don't give a fuck.
I literally do send a weekly reminder, as he is a friend on Facebook, that hey, the show's up.
No, I'm saying, like, when people ask me, it's like, you already get one, because if you're friends with me, you're probably friends with Nate.
No, and I kid because I love, but he was at the Sacramento Comedy Spot this past weekend. Mm-hmm.
I was so excited to go and be there, but because I was getting off being sick.
Sure.
But we also had 8 people that were going to be in the show that night, so I
stayed home.
We
were coming back. Well, we were coming back from Oakland from the game, mm-hmm. and we stopped at Cattleman's, and I was like, "Well, it's been a day."
Yeah, yeah. Cattleman's is the end of a day. No matter how you like, you're gonna get the meat sweats when you leave that place.
Yeah, I got the big porterhouse. I'm like, I'm done for the day. I don't know what you're talking about.
yeah, that's not moving.
Yeah, it's all done. And the fixins.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what's really weird? So all of this meat, ate all of this meat, and then had some fries and the whole thing, and it was great. And the thing that bothered me the most about the entire meal was the cucumber I ate, because every belch was nothing but cucumber. I had, and I know this because I counted them, 5 thinly sliced slices of cucumber. And that was what wronged me for the evening.
Oh, wow. What's the matter with cucumber, man?
Normally nothing. Normally nothing. I like cucumber. That's why I ate it.
Would you rather burp up hot, disgusting porterhouse?
I kind of would.
All right.
I kind of would.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'd rather be fresh, like some cool cucumber. Like,
it's not really that cool.
Oh, was it?
No.
Oh.
No.
It sounds like you might have just had heartburn, bro. I eat a huge porterhouse and all the fixins and 4 pieces, 5 pieces of cucumber. No, it wasn't.
It was part of the fixins.
Yeah.
I love steak, but I can't deal with steak.
Not a big one.
My stomach does not deal well with steak.
Oh, but the steak was fine. It was the cucumber. You got to stick with just the steak.
Just the steak.
The steak goes, it's good going in, bad coming out.
Well, here's the key with steak, because I did this when I got home. Cup of coffee.
Of
coffee.
Move it out.
If you go to a steakhouse, this is my tip to you. Doesn't matter where it is. You have your steak. When they come around and ask if you want coffee, you go, yes, I want coffee.
I always get coffee.
And if you drink it black, that's even better.
I'll remember that.
Because then it really just hammers that digestion into overdrive, and you get home and everything's moving in the right direction. It's all good.
True that, though.
You're all good. All right, it's time to start in Wisconsin. This article starts with a quote. The quote is this. What the fuck is this? I didn't order no sausage biscuit. Those are the words allegedly spoken by a Wisconsin woman who was so furious that her McDonald's drive-thru order was botched that she struck a worker with a bag of food and then entered the restaurant and shoved a teenage employee to the ground.
Fuck.
Her name is Debreca. That's Debreca, right?
That, I'm going to have to let you have that.
I'm going to say it's Debreca.
It could be Debreca. Debreca Dashay Jones, 19, was just named in a criminal complaint charging her with disorderly conduct and felony child abuse in connection with a recent incident in a suburban Milwaukee McDonald's.
She should have had the egg white delight.
Mm-hmm. According to the complaint, Jones, who's a Sheboygan resident, pulled up to the drive-thru window around 10 a.m. on Sunday, March 18th. Upon receiving her food, Jones became upset that the order was incorrect and included the offending sausage biscuit. Jones then threw a bag of food at the 15-year-old drive-thru clerk, who was struck in the back by the airborne grub. A McDonald's manager then provided Jones with the food she ordered. That, however, was not enough. She wasn't done registering her displeasure with the eatery service. She entered the McDonald's, began yelling at an employee that her order was still not correct. The manager again interceded and offered Jones a refund. After getting her money back, Jones went behind the counter to continue berating the staff. Now, when a 17-year-old worker sought to intervene, Jones shoved the girl into the metal fry station. The attack was recorded on the McDonald's security cameras. The teenage victim, who hit her head on the equipment and fell to the floor, was transported to a hospital after she reported feeling nauseous and dizzy as a result of her head striking the machinery. Jones actually fled the McDonald's before cops responded to the 911 call placed by a worker. She was named in a criminal complaint filed in circuit court. Her rap sheet, this is my favorite part, includes prior convictions for contributing to the delinquency of a minor, pot possession, driving without insurance, and driving with a suspended license.
Bitch, cook your own breakfast next time.
Right?
No, she's only 18, though, man.
19.
Like,
that was the average age of the combat soldier in Vietnam. Did you know that? Did you know that?
No. 19.
Paul Hardcastle.
No, 19.
Come on, Jason. You didn't know that?
No.
You never heard that song, man?
What song is that?
Nineteen.
Mm-mm. I probably have heard it.
Oh.
I guarantee you I probably heard it. But
you know who hasn't heard it? Spotify. Spotify has not heard that.
That's almost a hip hop song too. I can't believe it.
We have new mic stands, and it, to be fair to Kareem, it is mounted on the arm of his chair.
It's like,
and
I'm strumming a guitar,
right?
Over here.
So when you heard the springs, that's what it was. Let me close that window. All right, let's
close it.
Let's open this up. I need to find that song since we've mentioned.
Yeah,
it.
Now you please do please. Let me see.
It was the '80s, Jason.
Oh, it was in the '80s.
It was in the '80s.
Oh.
Hey, remember the 80s?
Yeah, no, I do. I remember the 80s. Like,
you have to look up Paul Hardcastle on Spotify.
Oh, that was my mistake. That was my mistake. Let me go ahead and do that.
Paul Hardcastle. Was he in it? Did he do anything else?
He was in Hardcastle and McCormick. No, he wasn't. He was not in that. Oh, this is an ad.
Is it?
Song will play after the ad. Well, thanks. Thanks for that, Spotify.
Thanks for letting me know.
Thanks for that. I'll just vamp for another few seconds till we get into the song, and then we can get it all figured out, and you can be happy about stuff, and blah, da, da.
At CVS Pharmacy at Target, we put a little extra heart into everything we do.
Apparently, there's another ad.
Actively looking to save you money. Generics.
By the way, I have a bone to pick with the CVS Pharmacy at Target.
Oh.
So they have a thing called shower. They're not called shower soothers, but they're basically a knockoff of shower soothers. They're menthol tablets that melt under your shower while you're showering and clears out your sinuses.
Cool.
They sell them at CVS. They do not sell them in the CVS at Target. You have to go to a fucking standalone CVS. Get your shit together, Target. What's this shit now? Oh, ADT. Just put up a sign in your yard that says you have ADT and you don't need ADT. It's the same thing.
Same thing.
Same goddamn thing. Yeah, by the way, if you're stuffy, Go to a CVS, find those little fuckers. They are wonders.
I'm going to have to get that.
Oh, yeah. Clears you right out. Nothing better.
Sounds dope.
Yeah. Well, they used to make something called shower soothers, which were a little bit more hardcore. Mm. Here we go. Vietnam seemed like just another foreign war, but it wasn't.
It was different in many ways, and so were those. Definitely who did the fighting. 80s, in early World 80s. War II, the average age of the combat soldier was 26. 83, in Vietnam, 84. He was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19. Imagine a break. Definitely. 19. Is this it? Is it just talking like this?
In the back?
Yeah.
It's a message.
I know. And when I graduated high school, they had that. But always remember to wear sunscreen. Remember that one? That's similar, like.
No, I grew up in Vermont, Jason. We didn't have to remember sunscreen.
Yeah. Well, it's the same type of thing. It's like.
I can't believe you never heard this.
No.
What kind of hip-hop head are you?
I guess not that cool. I thought... Have you listened to Sound Bombing or Sound Bombing 2? Or...
I got all of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is 1985.
Okay, I was not too far off.
Yeah, brothers were listening to this.
Just to the beats. The sample, right?
It featured sampled narration voiced by Peter Thomas, out-of-context interview dialogue, and news reports from Vietnam Requiem, the ABC television documentary about post-traumatic stress disorder suffered by Vietnam vets. In 2009, the song placed at number 73 on VH1's 100 Greatest One-Hit Wonders of the 80s.
And they used it for breakdancing.
There's a good chance that if I was watching some breakdancing, because I did watch breakdancing on a regular basis, that I didn't even listen. I wasn't even listening to the words. I was just watching the dudes do all the moves, man. Because Breakin', the movie Breakin', like,
yeah.
I got a parachute pants, like, right when that movie came out. And Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo, like, I had the tape. Like, I had Houdini on it. The Freaks Come Out. Freaks Come Out at Night.
Ice Tea.
Freaks Come Out at Night. Ice Tea.
Yeah. His acting debut.
Oh, man. I remember when he did the thing with the mop, you know, like with the broom. I was like, no, I want to do that one day. I tried to recreate that so many times when I worked at McDonald's. When I never had an Amy Black woman try to shove me in a fryer. Shit. But you know what? I realized. So they say McCafe was established in 1995, right?
Uh-huh.
So I worked at the McDonald's in Dublin, California, all right? And when I was working there, and one of the things that I was the few that was trained on was we got a brand new espresso machine, like full-on espresso machine with Ghirardelli chocolate and all that stuff to make mochas. Like, so... I was part of the first McCafe. Like, I had no idea. Like, when it said that it was established in 1995, I was like, I worked at one of the McDonald's that had a McCafe, and I didn't even know it.
Yeah, because they made it up after you left.
Wow. That shit was dope. Because they didn't have... Because I knew that they didn't have espresso machines in every McDonald's.
Right.
You know, that wasn't... Yeah, so... But, yeah, okay. I will say there's a period in music, 85 to be exact, where it all sounds the same to me.
Do you not recognize this song?
I will in a second. It's Breakin', right? Yeah.
It is.
No one does it better.
This God, music was terrible.
It's just so funny how it just has, like, you just know. Like, that, there's one time, like, in the, like, Oh, this is what it sounds like. this is the '80s.
Hold on, I need a palate cleanser from that same era. My brain hurts. That wasn't all shit.
Thought you were gonna play Phil Collins.
No. Oh, this makes my soul feel a little better. If you're a little younger and you're wondering why people love Prince, the music you heard just before this was what was out at the same time. Listen to how much better this is. Same type of genre, just 1,000 times better.
Well, it just sounds so much more like there's such a musicality to it. You know?
You mean because he didn't just take a goddamn drum machine and a shitty synthesizer and go, well, I'm done here.
Yeah. Like how many other bands did the new wave? Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna leave. Oh, I can't. I got it. Thank you, Prince. All right. You guys like to crack your knuckles? Do you like the sound of it?
I do. My wife hates it. But
oh, well. She might be interested in this then. Why people find it.
Good morning. I'm Noelle King with the answer to a mystery that has puzzled scientists and kids for years. When we crack our knuckles, why do they make that popping sound? A grad student in France, Vinith Suja, was cracking his knuckles in class and thought he could figure it out. He worked up a series of math equations, and, well, it's complicated, but there are little bubbles in your joint fluid, and when you crack your knuckles, the sound you hear is the bubbles popping. It's Morning Edition.
We've known that for years, yeah, bitch.
What the fuck?
Morning Edition's a fraud.
It's like, that wasn't even fucking news. That was like general knowledge that you should know.
Look, this kid figured it out in class in France. He figured out what we all already knew. By the way, I figured out gravity.
One of those things.
All right, Morning Edition. I'm going to give you a chance. A chance to redeem yourself.
Let's do it.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, publisher of Rebound by Kwame Alexander, the prequel to the novel in verse, The Crossover. Available now. More at KwameAlexander.com.
Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep. They say there's nothing sure but death and taxes. Maybe just taxes. In Romania, a dead man may drive again. A court restored his driver's license after he challenged his traffic fine, even though he died before the ruling. Then there's the Romanian whose wife declared him dead. He went to court to have his death certificate ruled invalid, but the court said no. He was late in filing, and after all, it said dead right there on the paper. You're listening to Morning Edition.
I'm not dead. I'm not quite dead. I'm not dead. I'm not dead.
I'm not dead.
I'm feeling better. I just want to point this out to everybody who listens to NPR thinking they're better than us. And by us, I mean me. Because I don't listen to NPR. Except for the show.
Yeah, some people, that's the way that they can get their media. So, you know, let them get their news. At least they're getting the news there.
Okay, no. I'm not talking about the people who just listen to NPR. I'm talking about the people who need to tell you that they listen to NPR.
Shit, I mean, I feel about them the same way I feel about people that tell me that they watch Fox News. I don't give a fuck.
You know, I was listening to NPR on the way in this morning. Fuck you. That's what my brain does. My brain immediately does that. I was listening to NPR on the way in today. Fuck you. You know what I was listening to on the way in? A goddamn podcast, because it's 2018, motherfucker. I get my shit on demand.
That's right, goddammit.
I get my shit on demand. Meanwhile, you think Romania is weird. How about what's going on in Austria?
Support for NPR.
I hate NPR.
PR and the following message come from New West Records with Naked Giant's debut full-length album, Slough, a noisy, energetic garage rock melting pot produced by legendary Seattle producer Steve Fisk. Available now at NakedGiants.com.
Get the fuck out of here.
Remember Smurfs, the little blue creatures who lived in the forest and inexplicably had only one female in their tribe? They were fairly lovable creatures, but police in Austria don't think so. A man in Tyrol province referenced a couple of cops as Smurfs on a Facebook group. A police officer who saw the posting filed a complaint, and the man was fined nearly $200 for violating public decency. Imagine how much more he'd have to pay if he called them Gargamel. It's Morning Edition.
Fuck you.
Bitch asses.
No, well, not the cops, although that was a bitch ass move. But fuck her for her lame ass attempt at humor. What if he called them Gargamel? Fuck off.
That's fucking so horrible. I didn't realize that she was trying to make a joke, and then like when you pointed it out, I thought she was just stating like, yeah, I wonder what they would do. I was like, that's a good question. Like, Smurfs are good things, right? Like, they're not bad. They're short and blue.
They're smurfing fantastic.
But they love having a good time. They're not the bad person. So you think you'd want to be not the bad person.
They're smurfing wonderful.
But if, I wonder what you would do. But Gargamel's a human.
They're smurfing wonderful, Jason. Hey, let's do a little cooler tool.
Ooh, all right.
Our first up in cooler tool, knuckle cracking, Jason.
That's fucking cool.
Kareem.
Cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Settle down, people. Settle down, Jason's wife. Up next in Cooler Tool, being dead, Kareem.
It's liberating.
Jason.
Cool.
It's part of life. It's the yin to the yang.
That happens.
Yin to the yang. Hey, you even get your own day. Dia de los Muertos.
That's it.
You gotta go to Mexico for it, but you still get it. So it counts. And finally in Cooler Tool, 80s references. 80s references. Jason.
Cool, because I get them.
You get some of them.
Right.
So they're cool if you get them.
Yeah, they are cool. I will say this, though, speaking of 80s references. So the movie Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Are you familiar at all?
So there's the book.
There's a book. Okay. Now, have you seen the movie yet?
No, but I know that it's completely not the same thing.
You are correct. It is not the same thing, despite the fact that the guy who wrote the book also wrote the screenplay. In fact, one of the very first things in the movie is a race that never happens in the book.
Yeah.
Wow.
At what point in the book, Jason, does Artemis finally meet Parzival in person?
At what part?
Yeah, what part? How far into the book?
Like the last third of the book, I think, right?
Try in the first 15 minutes of the movie, they meet in person.
But the whole idea is that Percival
IRL.
But isn't the whole idea that Percival, like, that he doesn't really know that Percival is who Percival is, and that's why every...
Well, she knows who Parzival is within the first 15 or 20 minutes of the movie. Be warned, if you loved the book, you might want to punch Steven Spielberg in the nuts.
No, I realize that it's going to be a completely different thing. Because, I mean, I read...
So let me ask you this, Jason, as someone who read the book. What musical artist would you expect to hear a lot of on the soundtrack?
A band that I fucking hate, so I'm glad that they're not in this at all. But they're very important to the plot. That's fucking Tool. Right? No, not Tool. That's the other band that's like fucking Tool. That's like fucking I hate.
They're nothing like Tool.
Yeah, they fucking just like fucking Tool.
They're nothing like Tool.
They're ridiculous.
It's Rush.
Rush, yeah.
There are no Rush songs in this movie on the soundtrack.
That is crazy.
None. It starts with Van Halen and it ends with Hall & Oates.
Okay.
That's pretty funny. Like, I did not like, that's so funny. That's pretty funny. I don't like that. I've already forgotten their name. I don't fucking like them.
Why don't you like Rush? They're a Canadian treasure.
The reason that I don't like Rush is because I think my
too many people told you had to like Rush.
I know. I think it all stems back to an uncle I had, my mom's foster sister. Her husband was a total Christian guy, but he for some reason was huge. Like, he was a musician, but he was huge into Rush. And this is the same guy that tried to tell me that I didn't, like, if I just believed in Jesus, I didn't need my inhaler. But he, and if I just really gave my life over to Jesus, that, like, and let him remove my, and yeah. But he loved Rush. I remember him having a, like,
he so, was trying to introduce you to Jesus soon.
Yeah. So, anyhow, I was just like, I think that probably turned me off, and I don't know. I hung out with kids that listened to, my uncle wasn't a huge Rush guy. He was an AC/DC. My uncle was like an AC/DC, like rock guy, like that, like
sure.
Alice Cooper, stuff like that. He wasn't into Rolling Stones. Fucking loved the Rolling Stones.
So he wasn't into people who are really good musicians.
He liked rock.
Yeah. No, I like all those bands too. Yeah.
But no, I never got into them, man.
No, I completely understand. They were well before your time.
Yeah. And like and the kids that like when I was in school, like I listened to the same shitty stuff that high school kids will always listen to, like from this time era, which was fucking Steve Miller Band. Like I would have I would have much rather been turned on to this band than Steve fucking Miller Band because like that's just worthless fucking shit in my brain now.
Yeah.
Like fuck Steve Miller Band.
So I will say this. I don't need to hear Tom Sawyer anymore. I like Rush a lot. I do not need to hear Tom Sawyer.
Yeah.
It's like at one point Leslie goes, What are your three favorite Rush songs? Play them for me when we get in the car, and I'm like, okay. And Tom Sawyer, not one of them. That song overplayed. If you're unfamiliar with Tom Sawyer,
I think that's too. Because this isn't every bar. You go into any bar, like some guys don't play this.
Right. Now, if you play this,
I'd be like, "What is this?"
Right.
That's some jamming guitar.
This is Rush. The spirit of radio.
I've heard other stuff.
Here's what amazes me. You were a pothead, and you didn't listen to Rush.
No. But see, I listened to Mac Dre.
I'm sorry. The white people I was hanging out with wouldn't listen to this either.
Yeah. Yeah, I was listening to different music when I was smoking pot. But I was always like, when I was smoking pot, like when I was really smoking pot, I was like in my late 20s, early 30s. Like, it was a much different time in my life. Like, Kanye West was around. I was listening to a lot of Kanye West. Common had just released his brand new album under the Good Music label. So there's some good stuff going on. I was not. Who liked Rush a lot too, and was another reason it was probably turned off to me, was Ash. Ash liked Rush. Remember he lived with me for a while, that guy?
Yes.
Yeah. He liked Rush too. I don't know. All the guys that I knew that liked Rush, I didn't really care for. They were my friends. Like, so we might not have been cool.
No, I get it.
We might have been friends. We were connected over something else.
Well,
radio. Well, you know.
Well, here's the thing. I was never a huge Rush fan growing up. I didn't really get an appreciation for Rush until I got to college, and one of my friends at college really liked Rush.
Oh, there you go. Well, see, that's what it happens.
And then I was like, oh, okay. And then I've discovered little bits of Rush as I move forward. You know. So, like, this is one of my favorite songs.
Yeah. I told one of my friends, like, when I was, like, in college age, and he just graduated college. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm listening to Eminem. He's like, oh, you like rap and hip hop? I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, let me turn you on some real hip hop. And that's when I got turned into Ruckus Records. To Eminem, he's like, oh, he got me in because he's like, oh, Eminem was on this album here. Yeah. And then I was like, oh shit. And then I found out about Mos Def. And I found out about Talib Kweli, De La Funk, Homo Sapien, all that shit. Like, it just takes that person. Like it happens. It's like that's what's awesome about music is you connect with somebody about it sometimes, and they're like cootie, like sticky shit.
Absolutely. All right.
But I can't believe that it has sticks in the movie. That's like a part. That's a huge part of the movie.
Rush.
It sticks. Yeah, man. See, I get all those fucking bands. Sticks, fucking Rush. Like, you're all fucking four-letter names. Come on, get the fuck out of here. ABBA. All
right. There's an astronaut who has been to space 3 times. He said he has a mild fear of heights, but he can push through it. And NPR knows why.
Good morning. I'm Noelle King. We all have parts of our jobs that we don't especially enjoy. Andrew Feustel is an astronaut. He's been to space 3 times. Impressive, right? But Feustel recently confessed that there's one part of blasting off into space that he does not like.
I actually have a mild fear of heights.
Feustel has learned to push through it. He says his fear goes away completely once he hits 250 miles above the Earth. It's Morning Edition.
Oh, because there's no gravity.
Yeah.
Well, there's still gravity, but the effect of the gravity is way less.
It's different. All right. So, if you're wondering why Donald Trump is president, well, there are a myriad of reasons. And Jim Baker, who's declared his support for President Trump, says he is a test from God of one's faith in him. See?
He wants y'all to know that Jesus might be coming back.
Every bad thing that happens, religious people go, oh, it's God testing your faith. That's the answer to everything.
I was thinking the other day, what if, like, it's not that it's just, like, one antichrist, but it's, like, multiple antichrists, like, all at the same time? And, like, because I was listening to this thing about Eric Prince, like, him, Trump, like, all the, like, these guys are, like, all, like, the antichrist. These guys are, like, I don't understand how anybody can, like, be Christians and support any of these fuckers, man.
Well, let's check in with Jim Baker and see what he says about it.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. Put me on the street.
Do you know why church people and millions of other people do not understand Donald Trump?
Because he's crazy as a shithouse rat? No?
That God could use him? Mm-hmm. You know why?
Why?
They don't know God.
Oh!
They don't know God. Mm-hmm. They don't know this book, mm-hmm. one iota. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
There's not a normal person that accepts right. Jesus in the whole Bible.
Thank you, Lord. It's true.
Yeah. So yeah. true.
Wait a minute. Jesus is the Son of God, how is he the only normal person in the Bible? Wouldn't he be the only abnormal person?
Isn't that the whole reason of fucking, like, what Jesus was is, like, he was somebody that was complete, like, not normal and was, like, could take on the sins of fucking humanity? Because, like, because he wasn't normal? Because he was unsinned? He didn't have the original sin? Like, so he was, like, it hadn't, get the fuck out of here.
Well, I just want to point out this video. There are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people, if you count Jim Baker, sitting around this curved desk, and at each end of the desk is one of his big buckets of provisions.
Is somebody just slopping it out?
Or Bibles. I'm not sure which at this point.
He used the unlovely. He used the unacceptable. He used the people that no one would vote for.
Right.
We don't get God.
Yes.
God uses the impossible.
Yes, he does.
God would even use a Jim Baker. A little kid with dreams and visions and
a bunch of felonies.
Whoremonger.
True. Defrauder. Oh, there's more.
Hallelujah.
An unperfect person. Mm.
Mm. Hallelujah.
Mm. He picked a president. He's testing.
Hold on. Last I checked, Jesus, not a citizen. God, not a citizen. We need to look into this voter fraud if they're the ones who picked this president.
That's it.
There is a serious case of voter fraud. Hold on. Someone's going to give me an amen or something.
Your testing of your evaluation of Almighty God is going on.
Oh.
God picks the unusual.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
God picks the one that no one else would pick.
Wow.
They need Jesus to come back to save them.
They need Jesus to come back to bitch slap them is what they need.
Oh, man. Yeah, if Jesus came back, those people would say that Jesus is not Jesus.
So I've been watching CNN's The Pope, I can't remember the rest of the title.
Pope Paul John?
No, it's about the history of the Pope.
Oh.
The papacy.
Catholics probably don't like that much.
Well,
it's hit or miss.
Yeah, it's hit or miss. It's actually really interesting. But the one last night was when the King of England decided that he wanted an annulment, and because he couldn't get one, he separated.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah, and created the Church of England.
Created the Church of England. Like, the fucking whole Christianity thing is a totally different thing without that happening.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's true. It's damn true. God's testing you.
Yeah.
God's testing you. Why do bad things happen to good people? God's testing you.
And the Pope said last week, there is no hell, heaven or hell.
Oh, that didn't go over big.
Yeah.
That did not go over big.
But he's a Jesuit priest, which makes sense after watching this.
Well, here's a fun fact. What if the Pope's an atheist and he's just fucking with everybody?
And look,
it might be. He might know.
He's an Argentinian atheist.
And the Jesuits aren't supposed to be seeking popedom. As a Jesuit, he's not supposed to be trying to be a pope.
Well, he wasn't trying, was he?
Well, if you work your way up to cardinal so that you're under consideration, then you're doing something.
Yes. As a Jesuit, they're not supposed to be even trying to be a cardinal.
We're supposed to be monks. Right?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, let's get away from religion for a moment and find out why God is testing us about this. This.
Lean back, relax, and enjoy. Sex toy news.
This is the a cappella version, by the way.
Yes.
Headline.
Put it in.
Minnesota woman accused of using racial slurs, sex toy, and more to harass the neighbors. A woman in St. Paul is accused of relentlessly harassing her neighbor at times, going so far as to yell racial slurs at the woman's visitors and attaching a sex toy to her fence. Her name's Roberta Ann Madison. She's 63, so she should know better, but she doesn't. Charged via warrant with 2 counts of gross misdemeanor level stalking, as well as 3 counts of violating a restraining order as her neighbor took out against her. That's according to the criminal complaint. She also faces charges of indecent exposure and disorderly conduct for alleged harassment of her neighbor, which reportedly took place over a 6-month period between August of last year and February of this year. She said on Friday afternoon, the charges are baseless. They can file all the fake charges they want. They still have to prove something happened, and that's going to be impossible because nothing did. This has all been played out to make me look bad. Now, the dispute started about a year after the neighbor purchased a home near Madison's residence. Last August, Madison started calling 911 to report the suspicious people of a different race were coming and going out of her neighbor's home and suggested that her neighbor might be running a sex operation. She also yelled racial slurs at the visitors and threatened to have them deported.
Wow.
The visitors were reportedly house guests of the neighbor at the time. The following month, Madison threw debris in the woman's yard when she had a bonfire and repeatedly set off her own car alarm to compel the woman and her guests to retreat indoors on other occasions.
Fuck, man. That's genius.
Bold move. Sometime later, Madison affixed a sex toy to the neighbor's fence. That's according to the complaint. The harassment described by authorities as relentless led the woman to get a restraining order last November. The court denied Madison's own attempt to secure a restraining order against the neighbor, dismissing her petition due to lack of proof. The harassment continued undeterred, making life for Madison's neighbor unbearable. On 2 instances after the restraining order was in place, for example, Madison allegedly exposed herself and made obscene gestures towards surveillance cameras that her neighbor had installed and routinely piled snow at the end of her driveway. 2 other neighbors in the area and 1 of the woman's friends corroborated the accounts of harassment to investigators. And by the way, you should have video of this, right?
Yeah.
Madison, who's lived in the home for nearly 30 years, said Friday that she secured a restraining order against the woman and accused her neighbor of unlawful invasion of privacy. She said the woman's security cameras point in her backyard, which is private space, and she added that she suffers from incontinence and hip problems, preventing her from sometimes making it upstairs to the second floor bathroom. And in those instances, Kareem, she uses her backyard instead.
Oh, wow. Ew. Okay, so she can't make it to the second floor bathroom, which means you have a first floor bathroom.
Listen, she suffers from incontinence and hip problems.
It's just a toilet and a sink. You at least got that on the first floor. You're just the nasty ass.
Racist.
Ah,
She racist.
She's a nasty ass racist.
Most of them are.
Oh, my God.
Shit's in their yard. Ew.
Well, I mean, she's incontinent. All right, let's transition to something less vile. It's how Silicon Valley's feature creep is ruining sex toys. See, over the past few years, the wall separating X-rated tech from the rest of the industry has begun to slowly crumble as various Silicon Valley types try their hands at creating sex toys. Omi Bod was founded by a former Apple employee. The now defunct Revel Body was invented by an angel investor. And Mystery Vibe was launched by a former management consultant who partnered with an array of design firms better known for working with the likes of Ford and Gatorade than anything Triple X. The one problem? Importing the Silicon Valley mindset to the world of erotic products has resulted in terrible sex toys.
Wait, no way.
Take, for instance, the lovely cock ring. Go ahead. The brainchild of Jacob Connick, who previously worked for Ashley Madison competitor Victoria Milan. Lovely is an app-enabled cock ring that promises access to various sex-related metrics, suggestions for new positions and erotic activities, if you're willing to spend $29.99 a month. And who isn't? Access to sex educators and relationship experts through an in-app chat program. Can you imagine? Hold on. I need an expert to talk about my cock ring.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
who wants that?
Yeah. I don't want to be talking to anybody while I have a cock ring.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, like, you know who should be showing me how to use a cock ring? Is the girl that I'm going to be using the cock ring with. Like, if I need it, like, that, because honestly, like, that's the way I'm going to learn how to use a cock ring. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not going to watch some how-to video on, like.
I'm not going to have a conversation with an app. No.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
Hold on. I have an expert on the app.
Oh, hey, honey, hold on a second. Let me get the expert up.
Can you point the camera, can you point the camera down? Oh, yeah, there's your problem.
Yeah.
You need to tuck your balls through the ring, and then the balls will sit in front of the ring. There's your problem right there.
Is a microphone on the cock ring?
it's on the phone for your app.
Wow. Taking a picture. Duo. We're going to duo the call. FaceTime. Or would that be dick time?
Here's the other problem. Sex toy companies are already at a disadvantage because Apple, Amazon, Facebook, Google, and Microsoft aren't in the business of acquiring sex tech, which turns off any investors relying on an acquisition to make their money back. Investors who are willing to take a risk on a company that's unlikely to result in an eye-popping exit or IPO are usually drawn to products that align with whatever's currently trendy in Silicon Valley, like software as a service or the Internet of Things. It is a mindset that encourages the development of products that, like flashy, feature-rich, lovely, over well-engineered, well-put-together products that, though they lack high-tech bells and whistles, might actually be more in line with what users want and need to enhance their pleasure and improve their sex lives. I guess it turns out that old Doc Johnson had it right after all.
Yep.
If you don't know who Doc Johnson is, well, I feel bad for you. Go ahead and Google it. Not at work.
Not at work.
No. Not at work.
NSFW.
Well, yeah. Depends on where you work, but yeah, I would not do that. So, Silicon Valley ruining sex toys, and that's sex toy dance. By the way, you can buy sex toys at Amazon.com, and if you're going to get your vibe on, go ahead and click through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It does not cost you anything extra. It helps support the show and get yourself off the right way. with Amazon. Bam. Where are we here with the show? All right. Let's, I came across this, which, interested me greatly, and it's called Does It Fart?
Oh.
Does It Fart? And this was not something I was searching for. This was something that sort of popped up in an internet side thing. You know, you see the side article. So I was doing show prep. There's a book that has just come out. By the way, buy that on Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab. see, now for the Bolson pupfish, a good fart can be a lifesaver because these little fish live in shallow pools in Mexico where they slurp algae off rocks and burrow into the sediment to hide from predators. When temperatures rise in the summer, the algae squirt out gas bubbles that are the pupfish suck down when they eat, making them bloated and worse, buoyant. That's not okay. The puffed up pupfish float back to the water's surface where they're easy pickings for predators, but that's not even the worst part. If they don't fart in time, sometimes it's so bad that they explode. I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was there today.
I mean, really, the worst thing is when you're not sure if it's a fart.
Oh, yeah. You can't never trust a fart.
Oh, it's terrible. Oh, no, no. Now my mouse is... Oh, God damn it.
Did it all just go? Did it all just
the computer's still there. It's fine. I just can't scroll. Oh, I got nothing here. I got nothing.
Did you run out of battery? Those things never run out of batteries.
It shouldn't. Well, I'm even the. I think it's locked up. Yeah, the computer's locked up. God damn it!
Piece of shit.
Can I just say, God damn it? Wow, I'm gonna have to do the hard reset on this thing.
No.
Yeah, it ain't doing nothing. The control alt delete don't do shit.
Holy fuck!
Don't do shit.
It did not like that. Does it fart?
Does it? I mean, really?
Well, we know your computer farts because it's farting right now.
No, it just shit the bed.
I trusted the fart.
It just shit the bed. Don't trust it. It's going to sneak on you.
Yeah.
It's going to sneak on you. So at work, my office does not have a door. Why? Well, because they haven't, allegedly they've ordered it. But I have, they started reconstruction on our offices in October.
Yeah.
We moved back into them in the 1st of January. I still do not have a door. Here's where it becomes the biggest problem, speaking of farts. When you have an office, a private office, sometimes you go ahead and rip a fart in there.
Yes.
When you have an office with no door...
You can't rip a fart in there.
Well, sometimes you do. Sometimes you just do. I'm just going to say that.
But it could be like an echo chamber, though, yeah?
It's not the sound I'm worried about.
Ah, yeah.
The smell.
It is not that.
You need to get an air wick.
Here we go. We're back.
Some essential oils.
Thank God. Okay. So,
that was a pretty quick reset.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Good job.
So the book basically started when this guy's 19-year-old brother asked... Oh, this woman's 19-year-old brother, sorry. Asked her if snakes farted. She didn't know, and she passed the gas question to Twitter's famous snake expert, David Steen. He replied, yes, snakes do indeed fart. That's when she suggested does it fart hashtag that proceeded to go viral in January of 2017. She thinks that was just, you know... The hope was that people would just tweet loads of farts, but it turned into something beautiful instead. The hashtag actually turned into a collective Google spreadsheet where scientists and Twitter's fart experts could add flatulent factoids with appropriate scientific citations. Then at that point, the publisher got in touch and said, do you guys want to turn this spreadsheet into a book? So obviously we said yes. And it's illustrated. So it's for the kids, I guess.
Of course. Well, there's the Everything Poops book.
Mm-hmm. Everybody poops.
Everybody poops.
Everybody poops. The three people who have made this book come together never actually met in person. One's based in the UK and the others are based in the US. Instead, they collaborated using a combination of Skype, email, Twitter, and Google Docs. Needless to say, the emails and search histories are forever changed by the past year. So, yeah, here are some of the questions that were asked in the interview. What does a creature need in order to fart? Answer number one, mostly a butthole.
Boom. Boom.
So they backed up. How exactly do you define a fart? The answer is that most of the air that we fart out is swallowed, so it doesn't just come from digestion. And a lot of animals that they're encountering do things like suck air into their butt and shoot it back out again. So it wouldn't fit the medical definition, but is definitely in keeping with what people think is a fart.
So it has to come out the butt.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. It has to be it has to be.
So is a burp a fart?
No, because it doesn't come out of your butt.
All right. So in order for a fart to happen, it has to come out your butt.
So hold on. So the question then becomes, some turtles can breathe through their butts, right? How would you categorize that? Is that a fart? and this got into real in-depth. The answer is they obviously do fart other than the butt breathing, so the answer would be yes to begin with. But then it's like, oh, they also breathe through their butts.
Yeah, because you breathe through your mouth and your nose, but if you
breathe through your butt, it's not technically a fart.
Yeah.
here's one thing that surprised me. Birds do not fart.
I would have thought that, yeah, that makes sense.
If you've never heard a bird fart, then yeah. I had a cousin who had a theory that squirrels didn't fart, because have you ever heard a squirrel fart?
Well, how often do you hang out with a squirrel?
Well, they're everywhere, man. Well,
they eat nuts, so they got to fart.
Right? Hold on. Let me Google this really quickly. Do squirrels fart?
And then do you add hashtag does it fart?
No, I'm just Googling this. Most people who own pets can attest to the fact that they, just like us, occasionally let out a toxically smelly fart. Hell yes, bobcats fart, one contributor writes. Animals that eat squirrels apparently have quite noxious gas. You know, I don't think... hold on. I have found it. YouTube. Listen, the internet provides. I don't know if this is a joke or not, but it's on YouTube. And it's...
Sì. Ecco un altro che si avvicina. Vieni da me, vedi?
Occhio che ti sale sopra,
That apparently was a squirrel fart.
Squirrel's fart?
Squirrel's fart. There you go. Problem answered. Probably now we know. Squirrel's fart. You feel better knowing that?
I do.
All right. Birds don't. Crazy. And you'd think they eat seeds and shit. You would think that they'd fart.
I wonder if most birds don't fart, but I mean, maybe like birds of prey fart?
Not according to this study. Birds do not fart.
Does that mean dinosaurs didn't fart?
No, because they're reptiles. Now, they may breathe in and out through their butts. I don't know the answer to that, Jason. Here's what I do know the answer to.
Leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
I know we have a supersized speak out to wrap up the week, because the people in Plattsburgh are mighty angry.
Oh, that nor'easter snowed them in.
Oh, my God. It keeps snowing there. It won't stop. Hey, why do bosses and supervisors act so oblivious when something major happens and they say, I didn't know. You say my door is always open, but when told what is going on, you prefer not to hear about it and avoid any confrontation. Wake up and pay attention. If you think avoidance is working, think again. Your loss of respect is obvious to those who work for you. Open your eyes. Maybe that's something for your annual review, not for speak out.
Yeah, geez.
Do you have anything for me? Yes, Bob, I do. Now, as the crate center needs more and more costly repairs, think about what long-term maintenance will be needed on whatever ill-planned grant boondoggle the city council will come up with. They can't balance budget now. Imagine the impact of one more white elephant project on the taxpayers.
Yeah.
Like the crate center, which has been around for 40-something years. I believe it's 44 years now. Boondoggle. Hey, to those who are against raising the age to purchase guns to 21, many 18 to 21-year-olds serve in the military and experience PTSD. Other 18 to 21-year-olds also suffer from mental illness. Is raising the age the answer? I don't know. Thanks for adding that.
Yeah.
By the way, if they're mentally ill between 18 and 21, it's probably not going to just clear right up.
No.
I mean, it's not like acne. Mental illness is not like acne. Maybe that's the title of the episode. It's entirely possible. All right, hold on. I need to find some music to finish this thing off. Hold on. Let me find something good. Let me find something good and long enough to finish this off. Because this is an epic, epic speak out. An epic speak out. That's what I'm saying to you. And scroll down here. No, I don't want that one. Nope, nope. Nope, nope, nope. You know what I don't need? 6,000 live albums. Just telling you.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. I don't need this many live albums. It's unnecessary.
I would agree with you. You don't need that many live albums.
No.
Like, band should have, like, maybe two great live albums.
The new trend of canceling school, aftercare, and after-school activities before there's a snowflake in the air is burdensome and costly for parents. Parents struggle arranging childcare and time off to attend events as it is. If there's no snow or ice, don't fall for the media hype.
Don't believe the hype.
By the way, maybe skip some of your kids' shit. They don't need to see your stupid face there all the time. Teach them to be self-reliant. Hey, many thanks to the gentleman who stopped and helped push and shovel my car out on the General Leroy Manor Road. That's kind people like you that make the North Country a great place to live. I wonder if students wanting to express their feelings about their Second Amendment rights would be allowed to stage a walkout. I'm sure they wouldn't be allowed, and there would be another attack, an attack on their right to free speech.
I just love how people bring up arguments that aren't even an argument. Like, I'm sure if they want, they could fucking do it. Like, nobody's going to tell them not to have a fucking... Like, nobody said not to. If there's enough of them, they can do it.
Supreme Court rules, you can't punish them for it.
By the way, if there's one of them, they can do it. Because there were schools where one person walked out against gun violence. One guy. Black guy. Probably the only black guy at the school.
Yeah.
It's Irishman of the Year, not Irish person. You wouldn't print Ger person, would you? Enough with the political correctness. I'm guessing that's short for German.
Yeah.
Instead of German. Merman, Dad, merman! The Trump economic collapse is going to be the worst the USA has seen since the Great Depression.
Thanks for that ray of sunlight.
I don't know that that's true, but okay. Every year I wonder who Irishman of the Year is, and yes, it's always a white-collar worker. What about the blue-collar guys who build the houses, factories, and places where the white-collars work? I think it's pretty sad we don't honor the older workers that built the city and town what they are today.
Yeah, we built this city.
Right. I don't think you understand what white-collar is, sir. The USA is one massive financial mess, from federal and state government to the tiny city of Plattsburgh. Stop the madness! Suggestion. Regarding the future of the Crate Center, why not poll the taxpayers of Clinton County giving their suggestions? Oh, I know why not to do that. Have you seen Facebook? Does the Crate Center generate enough revenue to justify spending thousands of dollars to repair an aging building? It would seem this property could be utilized in a more productive way. Why don't we learn from people across the lake?
Who are the people across the lake?
The people in Vermont.
Oh.
By the way, that'll get you tarred and feathered to say that in public. I wonder if my company would be more successful if cell phones were taken out of the workplace and Facebook was not available to employees. If overtime was stopped for 1 year, I bet gab sessions would stop and personal phone calls would be eliminated. I wonder if a time clock would help to evaluate how much time is lost in the workplace.
All right, Donna.
Right?
Jesus, Donna.
Donna, we understand that your job is everything to you. You really need to lighten up.
She's a dick.
I want to thank most of the road crews who work long hours to make sure roads are open for school buses, emergency vehicles, and anyone trying to get to work, but some back roads going into Shazy are not well maintained as other townships. I'm not sure if this is a budget issue or some other reason, but I'm sure I'm not the only person who's noticed the problem.
Well, at least that person tried to be positive at the beginning and, like, nice and supportive. I mean, it was just because they wanted something.
It's true. Hey, you'd think Governor Cuomo would do something about judges who are wasting taxpayers' money sending people to jail for stupid reasons, like sending someone a Christmas card. No rules were broken. We think this judge should step down before he wastes any more taxpayer money.
What happened?
I don't know. And I'm not wasting time on it. All we hear about is city sidewalks, snow removal, and fines. What about city streets? They're poorly taken care of. Where there are no sidewalks, you walk in the road. How dangerous is this? This is what our city's supposed to take care of, our safety? Forget all the stuff you pay for, like decorating at Christmas, mayor stuff, fireworks. Safety first. I've lived a long time in Essex. Why are our sidewalks and roads so icy and dangerous? Not like Westport and Willsboro. Let's spread some sand and fix things. It works.
That's why they use it.
It's true. That is why they use it. By the way, this... here's the funny thing. This speak out is so long, it's still... still not done. It's there. We still have more. I drove by one of the restaurants on Route 3 and the fumes spewing out of the chimney were not to be believed. There was talk recently about the Bitcoin energy consumption and heat being blown by fans into our atmosphere. What about the huge cloud of smoke rising from the chimney on Route 3? And this happens at other restaurants on the strip. Don't they have grease smoke traps?
It's fucking freezing cold out and it's releasing steam. Get the fuck out of here. Like, don't these people know how fucking buildings work? Like, but you there's smoke's gonna come out of a fucking building because you live in the fucking snow.
No, you're wrong, Jason.
And finally, I applaud the kids for taking a stand on school violence. However, they've been brainwashed to think gun control is the answer. How about the 50,000 plus deaths from drugs? Did illegal drug control provide an answer? Communication is the path for safety. See something, say something. And we as adults need to listen and then do something.
Yeah, listen to the fucking kids tell you that they need gun laws, you stupid fucking asshole.
Wait. Let me, okay, get real close. Get real close. Put your earbuds in a little deeper for me.
All right, they're in.
Well, I need to say something because I've seen something.
Okay.
Hateful people who don't understand how to cope with life have easy access to deadly weapons, and they're using them to kill other people. We need to make sure that these people who can't manage their own lives are not allowed access to deadly weapons.
I think that's pretty much what anybody is saying, isn't it? I don't. It gets lost in a bunch of hyperbole, but I think that's pretty much what people say.
That's what I've been saying.
That's what I've been saying.
And don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole. That's our motto here. Don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole.
Yeah, don't be an asshole. By the way, oh, they've been brainwashed. Fuck you. Fuck you. Maybe you've been brainwashed by the NRA to think that, oh, well, cars kill people too. Why don't we ban cars?
You know that husband that says, like, you know, his wife is cheating on him and is always saying my wife's, his wife's cheating on him or, you know, like, accusing her or always jealous of, you know, her looking at other guys. And then he's cheating on his wife. Yeah, that's you. I still don't fucking get it, man.
It's not that hard.
It's not that hard.
Just admit, it's okay with you if kids are gunned down. It's okay with you because 200 and some odd years ago, they put an amendment into the Bill of Rights that said they could outfit people to go hunt down runaway slaves. You are a racist and you don't care if people gun down kids. How about that? And you've been brainwashed by the NRA to think that your Second Amendment rights are more important than the health and welfare and safety of society as a whole. How about that? Maybe you've been brainwashed. In fact, that's more likely.
The person, when you're pointing at somebody saying somebody's brainwashed,
that person doesn't like white people.
Wake up, white people, and stop being assholes.
White people. W-Y-P-I-P-O, okay. People.
I'm gonna need the white. I'm gonna need the white people to push their earbuds in a little deeper. Deeper. Heed my words. Fucking stop it. Stop being ridiculous. Okay. You can slide him back out a little bit. Welcome back in, black people and Hispanics and Asians. All of you. Love you all. All right, that's going to do it for us.
Peace out.
Yeah, peace out. Leave you a little bit of Rush. Even though Jason doesn't like it, I don't give a shit. It's my show. It's not the Jason Casey get-together, is it?
No.
Exactly. We'll have a classic episode for you on Monday, and hopefully we'll all stay healthy enough to be back with new shows next week.
That's the plan.
That is the plan.
The hope.
So, Sacramento, stay safe out there. Everybody, quit being assholes, and have a great weekend. We'll see you next time.